Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's catch up with Ped from the Blue Room. Morning to you, Ped.
Morning.
Very serious stuff in many of the papers today, talking about Aaron Lennon. Here's the back of the mail for you. Lennon health fears. Star detained under Mental Health Act. Aaron Lennon detained after concerns for his welfare. Police negotiated with the 30-year-old, who's not played for Everton since February the 11th, for 20 minutes on Sunday afternoon. They were called to a busy road in Salford, Greater Manchester, following concerns over his state of mind. Track-suited Lennon was at the side of the M602 motorway. Officers believed he was in a precarious situation. That's about as much as we do know. He's obviously receiving some care, some treatment by the health authorities at the moment. We don't really know the background to this, but he's obviously not played for Everton for quite a while now.
No, he hasn't played since February. And I think what it highlights is it highlights that footballers are human beings more than anything. I think we put them on such a level now. You know, you'd almost forget that there is a human being in there. You see them as a footballer and you know, everything that goes with that. And I think, you know, we see them on TV every week and we see them on a football pitch. And again, I say, you forget that they're a human being and they have thoughts and feelings. And obviously, he sort of drifted out of the equation at Everton. And ultimately, you felt he would leave the club in the summer. It's just sad. And it highlights that it can happen to anybody. And mental, you know, health doesn't stop at people that we would think it's supposed to go to, or you know, you have this idea of mental health and what it's supposed to do and who it's supposed to be about, but it can affect anybody because it is an illness. That's all it is. It's an illness and all the stigmas attached to it. And I think we're getting a lot better at talking about mental health illnesses, and there shouldn't be any stigmas attached to it whatsoever. And it happens to so many people now in life. It's incredible. It's become something that has really come to the forefront for a lot of people. And I think in the past as well, I think a lot of footballers, because it's not a new thing, I don't think, by a long way, I think a lot of footballers went missing in alcohol and drugs. And you look at someone like Paul Merson, who...
Well, you could all probably reel off 10, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Gazza, Stan Collymore, Merson.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. There's lots of them, isn't there?
Yeah.
And they've suffered at heart mental health issues, all of them, whether some of them are sort of drug or drink related as well.
Yeah, and I'd say, you look at someone like Merson, who is the forefront, and at the time, I remember it was, it's disgusting that he's done drugs and gambling and alcohol and all this thing. But then when you seen him break down in the press conference when he had to admit to everyone, you suddenly realised it was a bigger issue. It wasn't just about someone who just wanted to go out on a Saturday night after the match and have a laugh. He was hiding something by doing those things. And I remember Stan Collymore being ridiculed by John Gregory at the time when he went off with the illness. And John Gregory's like, what's he got to be? You know, he's a footballer and he earns this much. I think it's just important that these things are talked about, highlighted, and we don't hide the fact. And, you know, Aaron Lennon goes away, gets the treatment. He's at, you know, a fantastic club for getting help. And I know the fans, I seen the reaction last night on social media. The fans were just completely behind him. And, you know, and he's not a first teamer at the moment. And I think he has sort of drifted away, but he will get the best support and the fans will back him as well.
That reaction has come from everywhere. There's such a greater emphasis on mental health awareness these days for all the right reasons. Mm. The past 12 months, I think, seen a huge turning point in all this. Mm. And that mental health awareness has meant that reaction has been so positive to Aaron Lennon. That can surely only be something of a positive for him. Fingers crossed, let's hope things head in the right direction. But he's receiving the correct treatment. Lennon, at the moment... detained, but obviously we hope things will sort themselves out pretty soon. Right, let's have a look at other Everton stories today. So the back of the Echo says, Calvert-Lewin gets his reward, set for a new deal, as the Blues eye move for Magpie star Gibson as well. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin, how far can he go in his career?
It's come pretty far, to be honest. You know, this is a lad who Everton picked up for, I think, £1.5 million last year, and from Sheffield United, I believe on the recommendation of David Unsworth. And it is remarkable how far he's gone already, playing 13 games, being put in there ahead of the likes of Kevin Morelos. Obviously, we've seen him play at the weekend. He played in the Merseyside Derby. He's played in some big games already. It's a strange one, really, because he is a centre-forward. He is a down-the-middle centre-forward, but he's being played out wide on the left. It's almost like the managers looked at him, looked at his ability to play in that position and chase and harry. And not, we haven't really seen him play. We haven't seen him play in his best position yet. He's obviously scored, I think he scored against Hull. And I think the idea of playing him off the left was so that he could sort of come in and join in and get close to Romelu Lukaku. But the games that he's played in so far, the high-profile game like on Chelsea on Sunday, it means that he has to do a lot of defensive work. I don't think that suits him as such. So it's a strange one that they obviously see a lot in him. But as a fan, we haven't seen that really yet.
Because will chances be limited for him, though?
No, I don't think they will. I think chances will open up for him probably next season, I imagine. Because I just don't think Romelu Lukaku will be at the club next season unless...
Oh, wow, that's the most convincing you've been about Rom since we talked about him.
I've been the same for a while. I don't think Romelu Lukaku wants to be at Everton Football Club, really.
Has something swayed you even more so in that direction?
No, reading between the lines, I think someone at Chelsea wants them badly.
You don't mean that picture of him hugging
Emiliano, that's nonsense. That.
Sporting director.
No,
of Chelsea.
I don't think that's anything to do with that. I just think that someone at Chelsea clearly wants him very badly for one reason or another, whether it's a political move or whether it's just showing their statements of their intent with Costa leaves. And I just get the feeling that they will come in with it with a massive bid. It'd probably be less than the 100 million that Everton, I suppose, have want. But I think you'll get...
Just clarify for me quickly. I know I'm going slightly off track here. If Everton do sell him, what's the cut of what Everton end up with in the end? Because I saw varying degrees of analysis. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I saw something last week saying... Chelsea had some sort of sell-on clause or... Was that just a fabricated rumor?
I think someone's trying to be clever. I think they get all of it. I think they do.
The 100 million.
Yeah, but I don't think it will be 100 million.
You're 100% on that. There's no sell-on clause from Chelsea to Everton.
I'm not 100% because I didn't sit inside the negotiations. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure there isn't any kind of sell-on clause or anything like that. But I get the feeling that because I don't think Everton would have put a selling clause in, knowing pretty much that Chelsea would have been one of the big clubs who come back for them. But I imagine that if Chelsea came back with an offer plus maybe players, listen, if they came back with 50, 60 million and said, you know, have a look at some of these players, like Fabregas, I'd be willing to bite their hand off, to be honest, as much as I love Romelu Lukaku. But regardless, even if Romelu Lukaku stays at the club, I think with more games with Europa League action, the fact that they give him a 5-year contract says to me that next season they're going to look to him to be, you know, a second striker or a third striker, hopefully bring in a couple of other strikers as well to add to that, and he'll get a lot more game time playing in a more central position. Because you would imagine with Europa League football, if Everton get into the group stages, that the manager's not going to want to do what he's done this season and flog certain players. I mean, you look at Romelu Lukaku, and I think some people forget that he has played pretty much every minute this season, and I think that's starting to take its toll on him. You know, I think in saying on Saturday, regardless of who he's against, he has looked jaded and he almost plays in patches in games. So I'd imagine Calvert-Lewin will get more chances to play next season because they clearly do really like something about him. Otherwise, they wouldn't be giving him as many chances in the first team as they have.
But they sell Romelu. They replace Romelu, don't they? Is it Calvert-Lewin's far too young to be talking about some sort of consistent role within the side?
I'm sure that Everton... There's talk of the young lad from Ajax, whose name escapes me at the moment, but there's a young lad at Ajax that apparently they're really interested in for about 20 million. Maybe they'll take a gamble on him, and maybe they'll try and replace Romelu Lukaku with two or three players rather than just one major signing. Because to be honest, there aren't that many players out there that could replace Romelu Lukaku. Otherwise, Chelsea or whoever else, Man United will be going after them rather than Romelu Lukaku, knowing that Romelu Lukaku is likely to be 80 million plus. So,
here we go. I think I've found this striker. Who is it? Milik? No. Milik, is that the... Is that Milik, the
no, I have got it, but I can't...
Arkadzius Milik? Does that not sound right?
No,
what about... No, I thought I had another name there. Oh, I can't even find it. I've got everyone on a website here, and I can't find what that name is. I'm looking for the... No, have you got it on your phone?
It will come to me. Don't worry, it'll come to
me.
Oh,
that's all right. Well, that's just a rumour at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's plenty... I mean, there's talk about the player, I'll tell you who it is, it's Kasper Dahlberg, that's who it is, Kasper Dahlberg.
Sorry for that awful radio, that was us looking through our website.
No, I know, there's been talk of him, there's been talk of others, and I'm sure with Ronald Koeman's connections, with Steve Walsh, his scouting network, that they will have been pinning down these players. I'm sure they have already got a list, A list B, a list C, of all the players they want, and know that if Romelu Lukaku, you know, the offer comes in for... Because really, I think that's what it is.
Is there a player you'd take off Chelsea?
Fabregas.
Would you?
Yeah. And
there's some links with Liverpool. I think the back of the Star, is that right? I can't find a copy of the Star. Let's have a look. I'm sure the back of the Star today says Liverpool will be interested in Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
you got it there?
There, yeah.
There you go. Klopp in Fab grab.
Yeah. So him, and I mean, there's a couple... I mean, you look at some players, you're not sure at Chelsea. See, I mean, someone like...
See, you're quite happy for the age of Cesc Fabregas to come into Everton Football Club.
I think he's at his peak level now, to be honest.
Still?
Yeah, I think he'd be someone who could play in that midfield and take a lot of weight off someone like Ross Barkley. Mm. Another one at Chelsea, but I think he'd be even harder to get would be Willian, who's just... I think he's just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, sensational. Absolutely. Liverpool were close to him.
Yeah, I don't think Chelsea would give him up. I think Fabregas might be someone that they'd look to maybe give up if it was a case of trying to get Romelu Lukaku. I think that's probably the way it'll go, more than anything. Cash plus maybe an offer of a couple of players. Maybe someone like Aki, centre-back, who looks like he's got a promising future. I'm sure they'll want to keep hold of him as well. But, you know, it's about testing their resolve. They're a team or a club that can go out and get some, you know, pretty much anyone they want. They've got the resources and they've got the pulling power. And maybe someone like, you know, Fabregas is maybe for him as well. Maybe he'd want first team football at this stage of his career. Maybe see Everton as a promising move. I'm sure there'd be a few in for him as well. But he'd be certainly someone that if Chelsea come knocking and offered the player, he'd be someone I'd certainly look at.
The Rooney rumours seem to have gone awfully quiet. In fact, I've heard far more linking him to China now than maybe Everton. Is his destination the Far East?
No, I still think it's... I still think it's likely.
I think it's gone quiet out there.
I just don't see Wayne Rooney going to China. I just couldn't
for a year.
I just couldn't
for unbelievable
see that.
Money.
Yeah, but I still don't forget next year's a World Cup year. If he goes to China, that's it. It's absolutely finished. He's got no chance of going to a World Cup.
Maybe he's been told that anyway.
Yeah, but I think that if he has been told that, then maybe. But I think if he's got half a chance, it's only half a chance by playing regularly in the Premier League. Now, I think it's probably gone quiet because Zlatan's got injured at Man United, and he is now back in the first team. You know, back in the first team picture at Man United, there's a chance of Europa League final coming up if they get there. Chance of him playing in that. He's going to finish the season playing more games than he would have if Zlatan wasn't injured. So maybe he sort of put those rumours to bed himself for the rest of the season, knowing that they can, you know, they can come up and become a distraction. So maybe that's why it's gone quiet. But I'd still imagine that if he becomes available, Everton would look to him because... I think as a club, we need that kind of experience. We need that kind of winning attitude at the club. We don't have that. And if you took Rooney for a couple of years, I think that he suddenly injects that into the playing staff. And I think if you've got players like Ross Barkley, Tom Davies coming through, he's someone that you want at the club. Most clubs have one of those players or two of those players. So I think I'd still take him.
I don't know this for certain. So there's two sides of the rumour I've heard. I've heard... a former player who said to me he was in a pub with Wayne's dad who was shouting about the fact he was coming back to Everton. So that might be an indicator. But I've also heard from someone within the agent business who said to me that he feels the deal is almost tied up for a move to China. So that's quite... It will be fascinating to see which way it goes. Right, some reflections on the game from the weekend. I know people are talking in the papers today about the best goals of the season after Emre Can's goal. I love the sort of goal that Pedro scored against Everton. Look, I know it was an absolute killer for Evertonians. What a goal. I mean, that ball was still, it was still picking up pace when it hit the net.
Yeah,
it was a cracker, wasn't it?
You know what? I went back and I rewatched the game, and you know, coming out of Goodison Park, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of doom and gloom. Just being beaten 3-0, but when you go back and watch the game, we didn't deserve to be beaten 3-0. And it really was going to take a goal like that to open the game up. I didn't feel, it felt at that point like it, you know, Chelsea and Everton had sort of, I don't know, I know it was still 60 minutes to go, and they had a lot of, you know, you looked at their bench and thought, look at what they're bringing on, look at what we're bringing on. That was always going to be the difference. But it was going to be something like that. And you hold your hands up when those goals go in and you just say, what can you do? I know people will say, well, Jagielka let him come off him, and Steckenberg could have been another yard to off us. There's nothing you can do about goals like that. And once that went in, you had the feeling that Chelsea had almost just put their hand on our head for most of that game and kept us at bay. And once that went in, you got the feeling that the players didn't believe they could win the game.
Mm.
But then it takes an awful mistake for the second goal by the goalkeeper. And then an even worse mistake. Go back and watch the third goal. I would love to know what the goalie's doing for the third goal.
Although the third goal looked like tick-attacker football by the end of it. It looked like Barcelona passing it into the net.
It always helps if you have a goalkeeper between the posts, because that means that they're typically going to try and have a better chance to save it.
I don't think any keeper was going to stop at the end, though.
Go back and watch that third goal. It's horrendous.
They cut the defence to pieces with the passing, though.
He isn't in goal. He's a goalkeeper who isn't in goal. And it's I went back and watched it, and I couldn't believe how bad he was. He was terrible for the second goal. Dave Downey would be loving this, by the way. He was so bad for the second goal, but for the third, and they're the things. I mean, at 1-0, we're still in there with a chance, at least. You know, you go back to games like Man United home, where we score in the last minute. We're still in there with a chance, and then the keeper throws one in, and then he lets the third one in. Absolutely awful. But
taxi for the keeper?
But yeah, oh, him. I have no idea why Koeman has allowed them to come back and go, because Joel, for all his faults, okay, he'd made a couple of mistakes, but I think the defence like him. But bringing Steckelenberg back just puts everyone on edge. And for a big game like that, there's absolutely no need. But I think what it says is that Everton will be after, again, we'll be after a top goalkeeper in the summer, another position that we have to look at. And that to me was the thing at the end of the game. I looked at what they are and the fact that they're going to probably win the league and where we are. And that was just a signal to me what we need, where we are, what we need, and where we've come from as well, from last season. So I wasn't too down about it, and it just shows you the level you've got to be at. And when you look at their bench and who they brought on, and the fact that we brought Kone on, shows that we are still miles away, and that's the gap we've got to close. You know, it's your bench really that represents who you are, I think, in the Premier League. And at the moment, you look at Evans and you think, well, we're absolutely nowhere near. It's a load of kids and a couple of senior players, so that's the gap Everton have got to close.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.